Eyes, if you're able, place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, Valerie, would you mind doing the roll?
Yes, I will call the roll, and commissioners, please indicate your presence when I call your name. Commissioner Hertz-Mallari.
Here.
Commissioner Brazier-Aceves. Commissioner Mahoney. Commissioner Merrick.
Here.
Commissioner Weiss.
Here. Alternate here. Present.
Commissioner Miles.
Present.
And Commissioner Ramos. We have alternate for Commissioner Ramos as well. Okay, we have a quorum, just some housekeeping notes before you get started this morning. The agenda for today contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. The commission encourages public participation. Members of the public may request to speak on any item appearing on the agenda. And during general public comments, please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the reading of the agenda item. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak. The clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. Public comment may also be submitted electronically by emailing response@ocgov.com. Also, please be aware that the room is microphoned for recording of the meeting. Please try to keep side conversations to a minimum so as they might be picked up by the microphones throughout the room. And please turn cell phones to mute or vibrate for the duration of the meeting. And also, before you get started, June had a quick reminder.
For those of you who haven't RSVP'd for the presentation at the board meeting for Women's History Month, I just wanted to remind you guys to RSVP and send an email to Emma Fisher. She should have sent an email out to all of you guys with parking information as well. So just a reminder. Thank you.
Do you have a list of who has not replied?
I do, or I have a list of who has. But we can reach out to you guys individually.
Want to say who has replied?
I don't have to pull that up. Sorry, I can pull it up. But
okay. I think you're just asking for a response either way, so that way people know if you're not able to attend.
Yeah, it looks like so. I have Crystal, Rima, Allison, Joanna, Katie, Christine, Jolynn, Laura. I'm not sure who that leaves.
I will be there.
I will let Emma know. Okay, sounds good. Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment today?
We do not have any requests for public comment.
And no introductions.
And no introductions.
Fantastic. Okay, so then I'm going to go ahead and we're going to jump around a little bit. We'll do agenda item one first, and then I want to go ahead and bump up the Brown Act just so we can get that off of our to-do list, and then it gives us more time. Hopefully we have some good discussions regarding our direction for the coming year, and I want to be able to make sure that we don't have to worry about stopping at a certain time to accommodate the Brown Act. So for agenda item one, approve the minutes of February 5th. Regular meeting of the commission. Do you have a staff report for that, or do you want me to just?
No.
Okay. Is there any discussion or comments?
I'll move approval.
Okay, I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed or abstentions? Fantastic. Okay, and then now we're going to get our presentation from our fabulous, wonderful lawyer. Council, yep, Brown Act, and so I believe we have also some slides to follow along and take notes, right?
Yes, although okay. There's going to be a question and answer, so please don't look.
Oh, don't look. Okay, all right, thank you. Take it away. Don't look ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Since the nation's beginning, Americans have been concerned with secret government. In the early 1950s, a journalist, Michael Harris, wrote a 10-part expose in the San Francisco Chronicle called Your Secret Government. at that time in America, there was a strong government knows best mentality and sentiment that was prevalent. Meetings were happening behind closed doors. Politicians were agreeing to pay raises, to line contracts, to other types of contract bids. There were no agendas. The great people of California did not know what had been agreed to or was being agreed to. Harris's report uncovered not just a few isolated scandals, but a prevailing sentiment among the elected officials that was positively contemptuous that of the idea that government should be open and public. So you can imagine that the response to Harris's journal articles was strong and swift. Then Assemblyman Ralph M. Brown wrote on the sentiment and drafted a bill that was grounded in the powerful premise that the sovereign do not yield their power to those they elected. This was known as the Brown Act. The Brown Act is nuanced, it's technical, it has over 50 years of case law interpreting it. We're not going to go over all of the edges. We're going to go over some of the most salient parts that I, in my view, you're more likely to encounter. So just kind of big picture, we're also short on time. If you don't have to memorize what's in the PowerPoint by any means, but if as a result of this training, you are about to take an action and you think to yourself, wait a second, this, an antenna goes up. You think to yourself, maybe I need to run this by Cynthia or Liz or Valerie. Hold on, let me just pause. Then that's a win for this training. Also, in the next few moments we have together, just like with anything in life, you get out as much as you put in. So I am going to try to make it participatory. I encourage you to answer question and answer about midway through. We'll be applying some of the principles we've learned to some hypotheticals. Don't be afraid to be wrong. It's just a conversation. Better to be wrong in this room when there's no real consequences. It's a safe space in terms of these answers than out in the real world.
Cynthia, I can say from the start, I've been in a lot of Brown Act meetings, and I love the fact that you started with a little history lesson. That was fantastic.
Well, it sheds light. And what's important about this lens is that when you're thinking to yourself, what's the Brown Act, that's it. You've got 90% of your understanding if you understand that it's open and public and that history and knowing the history will make it make sense because it used to not be this way. And that's outrageous.
Thank you.
So do we have any, you know what, for the sake of time, I was going to have someone read this, but I'll just go through this quick. I'm going to go through this initial part quickly. This is the statement of the Declaration of Intent to the Brown Act. So it's part of the Brown Act, and this was authored by Harris. And the gist of it is, the people insist on remaining informed so that they can retain control over the instruments they have created. And that's the Brown Act. It's the people's right to know. That's it. If you remember when we're talking about land acknowledgement, there was a comment as we were thinking of the legalities of the implications it could have, and someone offhandedly commented as we were considering this, it violates the Brown Act. No, the Brown Act doesn't say you can't talk about this. You can't. It's not substantive on that, and it's about being open and public. So yeah, there's some constraints on when you talk about things, but only because it's got to be open and public, and people have a right to notice. But it's not supposed to constrain our ability to reach the best and right solution and what we can talk about. I mean, that's not the gist of it, right? So what's the Brown Act? Long and short of it, it's an open meetings law. It's called a sunshine law. And the idea behind this is called an unsunshine law because the idea is when something is put out in the sunshine, open to the light of public scrutiny, that is the disinfectant that gets rid of corruption. So that's what these sunshine laws are. Government actions exposed to the light of public scrutiny prevent unethical decision-making and help enhance accountability. Open it up to the sunshine. Put your laundry out on the line. Okay, does this apply to you? Short answer, yes. You're what's called a Brown Act legislative body. You thought you were just a human body, but you are a Brown Act legislative body. So welcome to the Brown Act. This is what a Brown Act legislative body looks like. You are one of them. All meetings have to be open and public. This is from the Brown Act. There are no secret ballots. The legislative body shall publicly report any actions taken and the vote or abstention of that action of each member present. And it applies to you. Here are some of the technical rules we'll go over quickly. At least 72 hours before a regular meeting, an agenda must be posted in a location freely accessible to the public. So if the posting is behind closed doors where the people can't access it and don't know it's there, that's not going to count. No action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on posted agenda, except as provided by law. So there's some small exceptions to this. For example, yes, you can answer a question from the public. Yes, you can answer a question or comment from the staff. Yes, you can schedule things on the agenda to be forward-looking. There's some practical exceptions to this, but you get the gist, is that if you're going to talk about it, it's got to be on the agenda, and this makes sense that it's posted 72 hours in advance. Why? So that your neighbor or our community can look at that list and say, oh, I'm interested in that. I want to go. Without that, you don't get this open sunshine meetings law in effect. The agenda must contain a brief general description of each item to be transacted or discussed. That makes sense. Otherwise, people won't know what's on there. You don't get noticed. It's got to be noticed.
Question. Can we, if we all decide we want to add something to the agenda, add something if there's a vote that was taken on it?
So, yes, there is a provision where if the, by a two-thirds majority, if there is a, that they make a finding that, like, an urgency exists and that the need for action came to the attention of the commission after the agenda is posted, then yes, you can vote to add something to the agenda at the meeting. You take that vote, and then after that has been approved and you've added that item to the agenda, then you may discuss it, and any item taken from that would be a separate motion and vote.
And there's different kinds of meetings. I'm only focused on regular meetings. There's special meetings. There's emergency meetings. So we're only focusing, just for the sake of time, and again, general overview on regular meetings, which require that 72-hour notice. But we have you. I mean, this is great. You have lots of experts here at your disposal should a question come up. And so thank you for that.
How would they vote on it if they, in the interim? How would you get that vote? So they would have had to vote at the last meeting?
We're at a meeting now and want to put something or discuss something right now.
Yeah, let's say today,
right now, Christine Merrick said, I got a call from Senator so and so, and now this, it's not on the agenda, but we need to take action right now. Understood. That would trigger the need for to make the finding, to vote on it, and then to discuss that urgency item. But
got it.
Public has a right to comment. That's the gist of what this says. Interestingly, they can also record, and SB 707, effective this year, makes it so they can use any instrument to record. They have that right, as long as it's not disruptive. So now we're going to get into the take notes mentally, because then the questions are going to be based on your understanding of this next portion. Remember, the Brown Act only applies to meetings of a local legislative body, that's you. And here's what a meeting is. Any congregation of a majority of the members at the same time and location to hear, discuss, deliberate, or take action on any matter within its subject matter jurisdiction. That part that says at the same time and location, you can basically delete that from your mind because it is so broad. You don't literally have to be at the same in the same room. Mentally take note of the other ones in terms of when you're thinking, like, what are the rules? It's so broad that it might as well not even exist in terms of how the law has evolved. You know, in the 1950s, we didn't have the internet. Okay, one more, please. All right, one-way briefings are permitted. An employee or official of a local agency may engage in separate conversations or communications with members of the body in order to answer questions or provide information on a topic that's within your jurisdiction. Provided that person does not communicate to members of the body, meaning you, the comments or positions of other members. We're going to talk more about that. I know that's a mouthful. But long and short of it, yes, Valerie can brief you. Yes, Liz can brief you. Yes, staff can brief you as long as it's one way. We tell you relevant information. We're not telling you what others are thinking. You cannot achieve indirectly what you can't do directly. And we're going to talk a lot more about that. That's really the gist, and that's where a lot of members get in trouble. Okay, and so let's back up. So we're talking about majority of people getting together, even just to hear information, can be a meeting potentially. So wait a second. What does this mean? What if you're all public citizens, you go see each other at the same meeting, maybe there's a social event, you see each other at a wedding or a party, you can't even come up and say hi if the majority are you there, right? That's rude. So what are the limits here? There are some exceptions. The majority of members can attend certain functions, public conference or community meetings to address issues of general public interest, open and publicized meetings of another entity to address topics of concern to the community, open and notice meetings of another body, of another or the same agency, and a purely social or ceremonial occasion. But even this has limits. You don't want to be talking at these meetings about an item within your subject matter jurisdiction. And my understanding, and speaking with Val, is that a lot of politicians just avoid it because of the optics, that if the majority of you are talking, right, the idea is you don't want these secret deals, right? No secret tallies in hidden alleys. You want to keep it open and public. Everything you're talking about that's within your jurisdiction. Okay, here's the big one. Serial meetings are prohibited. A majority of the members of a legislative body shall not, outside a meeting authorized by this chapter, by the Brown Act, use a series of communications of any kind, directly or through intermediaries, to discuss, deliberate, or take action on any item of business within your subject matter jurisdiction. Serial meetings get a lot of attention, and so let's talk more about what they are. But we will be talking about. That's what the hypos are focused going to be primarily on. But first, let's start with kind of a general one that's based on a real-life incident. Here's a hypothetical. May a majority of the members of a city council, for example, meet outside the city's boundaries to attend a non-public tour of the facilities of a water district that provides services to the city for the purpose of acquiring information regarding those services. What do you think?
I would say yes.
So here's the meeting one moment. That's the meeting definition. So you got your majority to hear, discuss, deliberate, hearing counts on any matter within the subject jurisdiction.
Go back to the
and you've got your exceptions.
You do it, but you have to notice it, right?
No, wait, go back to the example.
The hypothetical.
Non-public tour facilities or water provides.
And just throw out some ideas. It's okay. Play devil's advocate. What do you think? Throw out just a few. We have a lot more to go.
Well, I think it's okay as long as you don't talk about anything, because I can tell you I've been to Orange County Water District things outside my city. They facilitate my stuff. It's a ton of things. No public are allowed. It's only public officials, and it's to hear updates and information about that body. So, yes.
But do you go with the majority of your council? I think that's the issue.
Well, yeah, we all get mud.
And there may have been other facts, too, to that situation, potentially. Because there's a word in here that really triggers what the response is. Go ahead.
If you're hearing and learning more about it, that's the hearing part.
Yes.
I feel like if it was broader and you were there with a ton of other officials, then it's more of like a public thing. But if it's just your city or your body members, it feels more like a meeting.
The Attorney General found that because it was a non-public tour and even fact-finding is sufficient to make it a meeting, they found that this was a violation of the Brown Act. A majority of the members of a city council may not meet outside or inside the boundaries to attend a private tour of a water district because it was a subject matter within their jurisdictions, provide services to the city regarding those services. It was something they were contemplating. So it was non-public, it was a majority of them, and they were just fact-finding. And we'll just assume there may have been other facts in the situation that you described.
Yeah, it was like a luncheon where they go over everything.
There may have been many other variables.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If it had been open to the public but not noticed, would that make a difference?
I don't know that Attorney General opinion went into that, but you, for the purposes of this room and your guidance, yes, you want to make it as much looking like open and transparent as possible. Now, if it had been open to the public, that kind of implies, too, that everyone would have known about it in advance. And so that's what you want it to look like. Any questions on this, by the way? You have resources. You could say you've got experts. If this comes up, should you be invited and you're not sure? Please.
Sorry, and as long as it wasn't discussed as a topic among them.
So that's what was interesting, is that what didn't require deliberation? Hearing the information was enough.
More than enough, yeah.
Fact-finding, hearing is a meeting just by itself.
Okay, so I have a question. We have been invited by, I don't remember her name, but it's the Employee Her event that's happening March 26th.
Girls Inc.
Thank you. So if four of us go to that, because we were invited, just like she was here publicly and said, this is our event, and, you know, and I'd like to go to see it. Is that a Brown Act, as long as, you know, it's a public event, but it's, you know, we would be hearing information.
So I'm looking at the exceptions to the definition of a meeting, public conference or community meeting to address issues of general public interest. And you all go to and you go to that, like you're public citizens, so you can go to public meeting. You're going to, right? And I'm assuming, Valor, this happens with members of the board too, but I assume they don't talk to each other at these things. It's the optics.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been doing this for 8 years. We talk to each other, but it's like, hi, nice to see you. You know what I mean? We're not rude, but we aren't like, okay. Good. All right.
Okay, here's the next hypothetical. Assume a 5-member legislative body. Supervisor Sally meets with Supervisor Tim to discuss, that's a typo, to discuss a proposed budget decision that the board will act upon in the future. Supervisor Tim later meets with Supervisor Mike about the same item and reveals his own and Sally's opinions about the item.
Yes, it is prohibited.
Okay. Anyone disagree? Devil's advocate?
I believe that.
All right. Y'all know what a daisy chain serial meeting looks like. Yeah, prohibited by the Brown Act. You can't do indirectly what you're prohibited from doing directly. Okay. Councilmember Alice calls Councilmember Bob to discuss a proposed homeless project that the council will decide in the future. Alice then calls Kathy, another member, to discuss the same item and describes how Bob will vote. Is this okay?
Prohibited.
Prohibited? Everyone say prohibited? Give me a thumbs up if you say prohibited.
I'm not sure yet. Wait,
so one? Calls Councilmember Kathy discussing and describes how Bob will vote.
But I don't know because she's not asking. If Kathy tells her, then, right? Every council member can know essentially how one other person can vote, right? So if Allie tells Kathy how Bob will vote, that's a one and one. I just don't know. Did Bob know how Alice is going to vote? I think that's what is dependent on.
The person can't communicate to the members the comments of another member.
So then it's not allowed.
Yeah, I don't think she's...
There you go.
She's not allowed to say, I already spoke to Bob and he's going to vote no, because then you're soliciting... I'm soliciting your vote or pressuring you to vote because now I'm saying, look, Bob's voting no.
Yeah, but I didn't say how I'm voting, I guess.
I'm pressuring you. I'm giving you that information like...
I think it's a no because you can't tell another person.
I say no. I say it's prohibited.
we're going to say this is prohibited by the Brown Act. And if it's technically that person didn't left out one, and so you don't get them. I hear what you're saying. You don't get the majority because you're missing. Let's stay away from the line. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it's a, you know, hub and spoke was meant to illustrate. You've got three people talking about the votes behind closed doors, not open to the public. So I hear your kind of caveat, and yeah, but we should stay away from that line. Right, there's the clear red line, and then there's a potential gray, and then we're going to stay away from both of those. Just an abundance of caution. Okay, assume a five-member legislative body. A staff person of a commission talks with every member of the board separately about how they will vote on a pending matter. She then tells a majority of the members the opinions of the others. Yeah, we've got that one, right? That's an intermediary prohibited by the Brown Act, one person passing it along. If it links, it sinks. That's the gist. Okay, here's a challenge question. It's a challenge because I haven't given you the law necessarily, but you might be able to surmise it or kind of expand on what you know on this new hypo. So here it is. A blogger posts about an upcoming library advisory board agenda item. A commission member reads the entry and does a like emoji. A second commissioner responds to the first commission with a thumbs down. This is prohibited.
It's a trick question. You shouldn't be on social media in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. I don't respond.
Yes, because it's indicating how you're going to vote.
But it's public.
So I'm hearing general consensus.
Prohibited.
All right. Give me a like if you think it's prohibited.
Bad idea.
Okay. This is prohibited by the Brown Act, and here's the rule. This was relatively new law, 2021, and it was set to sunset this year, and it was expanded indefinitely under SB 707. A member of the legislative body shall not respond directly to any, so it's not even the indirect link thing, to any communication on an internet-based social media platform regarding a matter within your jurisdiction that is made, posted, or shared by another member. So even if you're just responding to one person, not a majority, if you're sharing, liking, emojiing, commenting, that violates.
But the caveat here is that it was a member of your legislative body that posted it, right? Because if you have a resident, let's say somebody posting about like, hey, I was really happy with my city council because they didn't ignore me, and she likes it and I like it, that's okay because it's not a member of us posting it, right?
That's the same as discussing.
So you're getting into the gray. You don't want to do anything that seems like you're responding directly. The general safe course advice is don't respond on social media.
Okay.
That's the general safe course advice.
As the elected person, but if I have a private account, then I can do it, right? Like my private.
That's great.
Like I'm Crystal, my little Facebook. I don't have anywhere in that. I don't have anywhere on there that I sit on city council. I sit on status women and girls. I have nothing.
So I guess I'm taking it two separate ways. It doesn't matter that you know what your position is. I mean, that's not one of the factors, right? What matters is it a matter within your subject matter jurisdiction? Okay. It doesn't matter who, if you say, everyone knows who you are. I'd rather assume that. But then another way to interpret your question, if I'm interpreting it correctly, is you have a private account and it's just family members and you post something really just extremely, you know, that's just private, that would be a different scenario.
No, I was just saying, like, if I follow, she's a regular citizen in my city, and she's posting something, how happy she was that the 4th of July parade was fantastic, put on by the city. And I like her post, but I like her post because it's me, Crystal, the resident, who also likes the parade. I'm not liking it as Crystal Miles, the council member of Villa Park. I am a resident. I'm friends with her. And I go, yeah, I like it too, as me, Crystal.
She's not a member of the legislative body, no. And you're not commenting on any other legislative body's post.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't violate this statute.
Maybe I didn't.
But if anyone should share or forward or do anything with your comment, you're violating the Brown Act.
Okay.
So then you may, might do a cost-benefit analysis on the likelihood of anyone of that happening.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you're allowed to share information with the public. I mean, to the extent you would otherwise have that right. It's not that unduly restrictive.
Now, if the post was about more of like a celebratory item, like, oh, I love the report, very excited about the report, and then more multiple people commented, so it's not necessarily suggesting like a policy moving forward or any kind of policy matter, but it's more celebratory, or it's Women's Month and we all comment with that.
I'm going to throw that open to the group. What do you think? If you don't, if that's okay.
Yes.
I'm going to say no, just because it's comment. Our subject matter jurisdiction.
Just don't comment.
Commenting on group is a general best advice is not to do that. It's, and then the report is certainly in your subject matter jurisdiction.
I've been the best example. I'm thinking just like we all like that we were at the meeting and we all liked the photo.
I'm going to throw that out to the group.
Social media, I think, is really, it's really tricky. Like, the rules are catching up, and I think you open yourself up to your point, Cynthia, that someone else shares it. Like, let's say one of us could do it, okay, but it's the second one or the third one or the fourth one, depending on the size of the body. And since we don't control each other and we are not talking about what we're liking or not liking, like, it almost can become a serial situation without us even trying, right? So I think it's just.
And the context, like, because what I thought of when you said that, Caitlin, is that, yeah, it makes sense if we're all liking it, but then now switch it. What if some people say doubt? Like, they're like, oh, I didn't like that, right? You don't, you can't control what house and what they're going to put out on social media. So I think it kind of protects against that.
Right? I mean, just as respond, it's, the rule is against responding to each other's posts. So I think what you're trying, the hypothetical you might be flagging is, we are not necessarily responding to each other's posts. And so it kind of, it might depend, but again, red line, gray zone, and then where do you want to be as to that? I'm going to fast forward only because I know we're short on time, and I'm so glad this is engaging. I'd much rather go longer, but I also want to respect all the things you have to do today. All right, what if we want to break up into small groups? You can have a temporary advisory committee. This is exempt from the Brown Act. You're not a Brown Act body. If you are part of an ad hoc, but you've got to meet all these definitions, and if you don't, then you're not, then you're in brown land. You have to be solely of the members of the body, less than a quorum, limited or single purpose. So if you're renewing that body every single year, you have an issue. You're becoming more like a, you're becoming a brown body, and not perpetual. So once you complete that task of the ad hoc, you're done. It's got to dissolve. And again, this is just to skirt the idea of closed-door meetings, things going on behind the scenes that need to be out exposed to the sunlight, not in the moldy closed doors of the basement where no one can see. All right, and what are the repercussions? So do we want to go like someone's post and take that risk? There can be civil lawsuits, including attorney's fees and costs and criminal penalties evenly. It can be a misdemeanor to violate the Brown Act. Now, in the history of the Brown Act, there has not been a criminal conviction for it, interestingly enough, to that's known about. But we're not going to be the first, especially after this training. And may your meetings ever be open to the sunlight.
That was really good training.
Thank you.
I have one question. So, and this is more for because we're elected forever. But Cynthia, when you hear that elected officials are not supposed to block people on social media, is that a Brown Act thing, or is that a Robert's Rules of Order thing, or what is that?
Brown.
It's Brown Act. So you're not allowed to block somebody because it prevents them from, they're a member of the public.
I want to look more. I didn't focus on the First Amendment just because this is meant to be a big, you know, an overview thing, but I can look further into that. But I know it's part of the Brown Act. It can get very nuanced as to when and how that happens. It gets a little technical, but I'm, you know, glad to.
That's a really good question.
Well, I do know that it's your official count. If it's your Councilwoman Crystal Miles social media account,
No, if say it's a member of the public that's, you know, critical or, you know, saying things, and so no, you can't block them. But if it's Crystal Miles, your personal social account, completely separate.
So I can still block them
from your personal.
Okay.
You can have to keep it pretty separate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if you are sharing your official post on your personal.
Well, yeah, you're not allowed.
Yeah,
I knew that.
Keep it completely separate, but yes.
Well, fortunately, I didn't have to. I had a crazy upset person, I don't know, and so actually Facebook took care of it for me.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, if you have an upset constituent,
they're not even, they live in Ohio.
Your official social media, you can't block them.
Should not be here.
Wow. Well, and there are certain exceptions.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I would, if we want to go into a deep dive on that, I would have Cynthia dive deeper, but, you know, but just as a general rule.
So I just was like, okay, I did not block you. Facebook deleted your account.
Right.
So it wasn't me, but I'm just like, that was okay. So anyways. Did you have a question?
Just clarification on the ad hoc committee. So basically, the litmus test, if it's temporary, then it doesn't fall under the Brown Act. If it gets renewed, it falls under the Brown Act.
Well, if it continues to carry.
It looks more like a standing committee. It's supposed to be just temporary. You do the mission, and it dissolves. If you're renewing it every year, then it starts to look more less like a temporary mission accomplished committee.
And it's a standing, and then
it's called a standing committee.
Standing committees.
Yeah, a standing committee is subject to the Brown Act. And a standing committee is one that's perpetual or where the date and time of the meeting is set by the body.
And so, like for us, our ad hocs, let's just pretend that we didn't have to do another report in February or March of 27 and it got extended a year. Then I believe we can say, well, we're going to extend this current ad hoc for, you know, another couple months, and that's okay. It's just once that ad hoc is like, here you go, here's this, we're done, then that one has to dissolve. But it doesn't mean you can't create another one with new members and new objectives and stuff.
Right. And like, for example, like the report ad hoc. So the 2025 report ad hoc, their work is done. That ad hoc is dissolved. Now when you start working on the next report for presentation next year, you'll create a new ad hoc. Now if you didn't do that and you just continued with the same ad hoc year to year to year to year, that would be a standing committee. Does that illustrate? Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That was a fantastic training. You guys are so lucky if you ever had to do this at one of our regular things, because it's boring and dry and you fall asleep. And Cynthia, that was fantastic. So thank you. Okay, moving on to our agenda item two. Wow, this looks amazing. Great. Thank you, guys. It's so good. It's so awesome. To see it like here, and it's done. We're done. This is fantastic. And it feels good. Mm-hmm. Has a nice weight to it. And the colors, everything looks amazing. So, gosh, can't believe our little group did this. Fantastic. I can't actually, because we're pretty, strong.
Wait, one to use the fist emoji, but you know what?
Yeah. I won't. okay, so who has received this so far?
You are the first.
Oh, wow.
We were print. Yeah, we try to hold back. We haven't taken them up to the board offices yet.
Okay.
The digital.
Yeah. They were, obviously, you saw the agenda item if you had a moment to look. So that was posted. It is public record. And I did also email the chiefs of staff for the board so that they were aware the item was coming and give them some preview about the presentation being linked indirectly. So the chiefs of staff are aware. We've heard back from most of them. So, just so all of your supervisors know if you haven't had a chance to speak with them.
Okay, and
you've been invited to attend.
Okay, and it looks like we're all going to be. Caitlin, are you RSVP'd for Tuesday? It's coming up. It's 5 days or whatever.
Yes.
And so everyone, if you're not familiar, it's that building there, right there, the where we stood to take the picture. That's the entrance. The front door is there. Let's meet before 9. Let's try meet like 8:45 if we can. And then we can fill out a card. No, we're not filling out a card. We're just there for the presentation.
Right. You don't.
Valerie's the clerk, if you're not familiar, so she'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be there too. So I wasn't sure, so I know that in the presentation portion of the meeting is for the Women's History Month, but then for the receive and file item on the agenda, are they going to?
No comments.
Yeah. Okay. We're just going to be asked to come up there during the presentation for the Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. So there's no comments at all.
Right. Okay. So yeah, you don't need to fill out a speaker slip.
Okay.
Your comments will then be invited during the presentation.
Okay.
For Women's History Month.
And would it be possible, just because I think it'll look really good, if we have 5 copies that we can hand to the supervisors, because I know they come down and take a picture. Are all the supervisors going to take a picture, or just Chairman Chafee?
They always come down.
Yeah. Okay, that would be great if we...
The presentation was Supervisor Foley.
I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Chair Chafee is doing the presentation jointly with Vice Chair Foley.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure that they will
all come to, yeah. That would be awesome. So if we could plan to have 5 copies there so we can actually hand each one of them, even though they might already have it. But I think how great that would look, and they'll be able to, you'll feel it and you'll see it. So if we could have that there, that would be fantastic. And how exciting. So anybody have any comments or anything about this Tuesday's meet? Remember, we're going to try and wear pink or lavender or, something.
Yeah, color palette right here.
Yeah.
Pink. Match our colors. Confirm. So, 8:45. Presentation is from 9 to 9:30 presentations, roughly.
Yeah, we're not the only one.
Are we the only presentation this time?
No. It's social work recognition month, too.
I will say, we were just chatting. I'm always, side on arriving early, but just want to let you know that we do have 2 presentations before out the Women's History Month, which might go a little long. And then the actual start time is, we've been starting on time, right? I know sometimes it starts a little late also, so that's why I just don't want you guys to be waiting around.
Well, if you've ever been, you wait. That's just kind of what you do. So,
I love
it. What is the presentation consist of? Is it, will the supervisors be doing presenting awards or PowerPoint or award, some kind of recognitions?
Yeah. They'll go up and they'll speak. Depending on the situation, they might have resolutions that they'll present. Sometimes that takes some time to distribute. They'll take photos. But typically, supervisors go up there. Maybe a couple of them, a few of them, remark.
And they'll bring down the Women's History Month resolution, usually in frames that they hand out to you.
Yeah, each commissioner.
Just like the human trafficking.
So they'll call us up to go up.
As a group. Take a photo. We'll all go up together.
Okay.
As a group.
Yeah. Okay. And then will Chair Miles and myself have a chance to make a comment in that portion? That's what I understood.
I requested just one person to comment. So I will make sure, hopefully, that I do a very good job of representing all of us in my comment.
So when we first started this, we had discussed... Liz and I have discussed that we would do that together.
You'll be right next to me, but I think that the chairman has requested, my understanding, maybe I'm wrong, one comment.
Yeah. One joint comment. I think that is what my understanding was from when we first started.
So Chair Chafee's office asked that it be one speaker. I did ask that question, and they asked that could we just have one speaker, but that you would be at the podium at the time, and that Crystal would mention would be speaking to the fact that you were both chairs during the time that the report was created. So that was their request.
Okay, this is the first time I'm hearing that. Because I know when we first began, Liz, that was something you and I had discussed, that we would work together to present it to the board.
That you would be acknowledged, correct.
But I can't dictate, I would not
sure.
speak to what a what the chair's direction would be.
Sure, sure. No, that's not what I was saying
I
at all.
I just want to be clear that
yes.
I do not like speak on what the chair would want to have happen at the meeting.
No, that's not, yes, no. I'm just saying I probably will, I just for transparency, I'll probably follow up with the chair and my supervisor as well, just to check in, because my understanding is was different. And I think it's very doable, just very quickly. I think that.
Are there certain points that you want? Because maybe you could share with Crystal in the interim. Like, you know, of course, I'm not saying don't follow up. That's your purview. But
we can follow up too.
A few things that you want to make sure,
sure
are part of that. I'm sure.
We can follow up. It's just the first time I'm hearing that because my understanding was different. So. Maybe we can follow up offline.
I believe it's only been the last couple weeks that, because I think I was asking about confirmation of time and if we actually were going to present anything, or was it just more of a thank you very much, you know, the commission, we would like to, you know, thank Chairman Chafee, you know, for the funding, because without that, this wouldn't have happened, blah, 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 and how important this is, and, you know, all of us up here, yada, yada. So it was more of just, it's a one person, kind of one and done, thank you. They've got a long day, long meeting. So it wasn't something that was always known. I think it was just like, let's check with the chair and make sure that this is okay. And my understanding, like I said, is the chair has decided one person, so it doesn't get into, because then if we allow someone else, and then someone else. I don't know what their rules are. I mean, I don't know if that's what he normally does or not,
totally,
but definitely
that.
Follow up.
Yes.
So definitely follow up.
Okay.
And then I am happy, like I said, if there's something, let you and I talk, because it's not a Brown Act violation, because you and I can talk since we're not including anyone else. So let's chat before Tuesday and let me know what it is that is what you would like to make sure gets included, and I will do my best to make sure that happens.
Okay. I think because I was the chair for the first year, what we had discussed was, because I had asked that early on so that I could be prepared, and what Liz and I had discussed was that I would be presenting this, and then I had mentioned we would have a new chair by that point, and so it was discussed that we would do it together, so I just feel like it's just throwing
understand.
Me for a loop a little bit,
yeah.
So maybe we can follow up offline.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, but I totally understand, conscientious of time, I'm board president for my board and my school district, and I totally respect needing to be, you know, concise and on time and move things along. So I hear what folks are, I understand that that's what folks are working toward.
I did make it very clear that that was what we talked about and that we wanted to include you in the presentation. And it was, and I made that clear to the chief of staff for Chair Chafee's office. So I did express
Thank
that.
You. Thank you. I appreciate that. I will follow up because I do have personal relationships as well with both offices and just to check in and make sure, but I do appreciate that. And I just wanted to state that because that was my understanding this whole time. So I appreciate that.
Okay.
And also, I wasn't sure if I know I came in at 10:30. I don't know if we needed to announce that for the record. No,
well,
I think
gotcha.
Sometimes.
I marked it down. It'll be in the minutes that you were present.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, she's very good about that.
Okay.
Okay, any further discussion on this report? Fantastic. Well, thank you guys again. Amazing, fantastic. So excited. And then, I know we discussed about making sure each city got some. Is that something that we should work with?
Actually, that's a good point. We have all the extra copies,
okay.
So we should probably figure out the time to how you all would decide how you want to distribute those, other than the 10 per board office that we had agreed upon. So we can handle that, and then the rest would be go to your custody.
Okay.
Please
take it right away.
So that's something we can discuss right now as far as how we can get them to each city within the supervisorial districts, right? So does each of us want to, because we all represent a different district, do you have a suggestion?
Yeah, I would suggest that we add CBOs, community-based organizations, because I would like to provide the report to some CBOs that this matter relates to.
I don't disagree with that, absolutely. Why don't we do this? Is it possible to kind of get a list of, or a quantity of how many we have left over to divvy up?
So we, you should have, so if we count, don't count these, right? So,
okay, so
well, actually, we probably should. So just to make it a clean, it's 50 that would go to the board. So that leaves you with 200 copies.
Okay.
And then if you each have one.
Okay, so 245.
Yeah.
Okay, so 245. And then,
And if you would like to say now that the staff can
right.
do theirs.
So do we each get 20?
No, we haven't.
I think first we want to make sure we get them to each of the cities.
Each of the cities.
And also, reminder that we will be posting it on the commission website. I know a lot of the other commissions also spread that. It's, we'll have a downloadable link, so it'll be available on PDF form. We'll be linking that also on the press release so that it will be made available to the public. If they're seeing that press release, click here, and it'll take them to your website.
And then will you send us the link also? Because then that way we can, even though I'm going to give a copy to my council members, our city managers can put it and post it. Like we have an electronic newsletter. I'm sure you do too, right? So it can be, the link can be posted and put on e-blast.
So do you want me to send you a QR code link? So way if you put it on like newsletters then anybody can just.
That would be great.
That will be on the two-pager also, the infographic two-pager that we are creating.
Yeah, because then we can share that on our social media, but don't like it.
When do you anticipate?
We were hoping to show you the draft today, but we did tweak some things and made it a little bit more dynamic. So it should be available by the end. Well, tomorrow's Friday, huh?
Yeah, we were hoping by the end of the week, but definitely by Tuesday.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that. It's going to be great.
Excited about it.
I'm putting positive association with that.
It's a mix of like the introduction, a little bit of
comes, and our representative presents at a city council meeting and says, "I'm your representative from OCTA, and I want to share with you whatever how your as your M2 funds were spent or whatever." So someone from your Belinda Water District comes because there's 5 homes in Brea that are in your Belinda Water District, and they pop up. So I wonder if that's something we might want to consider after Tuesday's meeting. It's a little bit tricky for some of us who meet on the same days. Like if I'm in the 4th district, if my meeting is at the same time as other 4th district cities, it's a little bit tricky for me. But if maybe there's a way that as commissioners, we could go to city council meetings, just speak in matters, even matters from the audience, and give 5 copies
during council meetings,
and then highlight that it's available online for the public.
Yeah, but that'll take a really long time.
Maybe it's a combination. I would say, for me, I might send it out, and then as I have time, arrange one at a time to go and ask if there's interest.
Because if we do the city council meeting thing, like, let's say, I know some are the 1st and 3rd, some are the 2nd and 4th, but there's only so many of us, and there's 34 city council meetings. So how would we get to, you know what I mean? I feel
some of us will say, like, for example, I'll go to Irvine and a few others, and I'm there a lot of times so I can discuss it in public comments and give a copy to each city council member.
Okay, can we do this? Can we ask everyone to email you what cities they can go to deliver 5 copies?
In their district.
And then we'll have a good understanding of what's left over and what needs to be done. And then I can communicate with.
Yeah, I can kind of like keep the tally and
make sure and then just let me know. So if you guys would all email Valerie and let her know in your district what cities you can go to just do during public comment. And if I'm at large, so I don't care, I'll go anywhere. And I think you're at large too because of Laura. So we can go anywhere. If anyone's not comfortable going, I'm happy to go.
Yeah. I was going to flag as well school districts. sharing with our school districts.
That's excellent. That's a good idea too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So everyone.
So a couple of quick thing notes. If you let us know all this before Tuesday, then we can just have them on Tuesday so you guys could take those with you.
Okay.
And then also a reminder that you did at one point discuss, if you decided as a commission that, hey, we actually want to print more, that you have that quote that we can resend. So you can decide at that point, hey, we really want to invest another X amount of your budget in printing this version. So just wanted to bring that up again and to let us know if that's the case. And the turnaround time is about 1 week for the printing with ROV. At least 1 week.
I know for the report on the conditions of children, the supervisor does email it to us as school board members. So maybe we could collaborate, reach out to our supervisor's office and see if they want to, what their strategy is, what their desire is. We're not duplicating as well.
Yeah, and even if we just do the superintendents of the school districts, because, mm-hmm. I mean, the education part here is really big, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, well, let's have more questions.
A few things. First, on behalf of Commissioner Weiss, she would like to request additional copies to be printed, so I don't know if that has to be discussed. Mm-hmm. Secondly, if there's a press release going out, who fields requests for comment?
The CEO comms team would handle all of the follow-up questions. And then if there was anything pertaining to the commission, so it was a question that we felt would be best answered by the commission chair, for example, then we would direct that over to her. So we kind of field who's best
so
to answer.
If anyone should receive an inquiry, we should direct that to?
Direct it to Valerie.
Okay.
If any of us receive it, it should
definitely.
Go.
Definitely, yes, please. Okay. Yes. And especially with data, you know, if there's any questions that come up about, like, the data in the report or those kind of interpretations, that's always good. Kristen's great, gotten used to now answering that, and I'm sure Dr. Marchese knows that's often what they kind of hone in on.
Yeah. A lot of times I feel like when the reporters reach out, it's very tangential to the data.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, so we have sort of a centralized person at SSA who will take in the request, but a lot of times we actually end up distributing them to OCDE or to healthcare agency or to directly, you know, to the supervisors themselves, because they're not necessarily appropriate for the commission to answer. They're just things that were like kind of triggered by some of the data in the report. So,
mm-hmm. So every inquiry that the commissioners might receive should be redirected to Valerie to figure out who should be the point person. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Okay. And then lastly, I know from nonprofit organizations, CBOs, especially in grant reports, are citing to these reports all the time in their statements of needs. How do we cite this report? And can we put the preferred citation on the website whenever it's posted, as well as on the downloadable copy? Because this just says 2026, women and children, sorry, women and girls of Orange County report. If that's it, but the appropriate author, and if there could be just a suggested citation or whatever. I've seen that with other public reports.
Yeah, in fact, we were trying to figure out how to cite some of our sources. So that's a good point.
I don't know if this is something we want to kind of generate, but going back to the question of media inquiries, just there's been this long history of this commission, you know, it was in existence, it kind of went dormant, it's back in existence, and now we have a product. So I could see this being an interesting story, and whether there ought to be some thinking for how we want to position this, and the fact that this report exists represents a real commitment by the supervisors, the county, and the commission to addressing and the needs of women and girls and enhancing or improving the quality of life.
Basically, our mission statement.
Yeah, and so I just think what your team is putting together, you're going to share the press release with us?
Yes.
you would,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to go out to the public, so
yeah.
Absolutely.
That would be
yeah.
great. But I don't know. Terry was her name, used to be. I could see longtime Orange County beat reporters, I think, could see an interesting story in this. Yeah, and it's just, it could be beyond just the data, just the mere fact that that resources were committed to reestablishing the commission, to producing this report, and what's next.
Yeah, fantastic. And before we get to your question, let's put on the agenda for April a discussion about if we need to have more reports printed, because by then we should know how many we have left, if we have any left at all. And since it'll only take a week, that would probably work. Because I'd hate to commit funds to it if we really haven't figured out that we need it yet. You know what I mean? Okay, here.
So on that date, March 10, I'm appearing at the Laguna Hills City Council because they're hearing our resolution to end child marriage under 18, no exception, so I can give them the report then. And that's five on that same day we're appearing, we're presenting the report. And then with regards, thank you for bringing up the press release. Can we repost the press release?
Mm-hmm.
As a nonprofit, repost it as is, without, if you can let us know, because we have over 175 media outlets.
Can we follow up with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know the protocol, but I know that's our CEO comms, PIO, Molly Nicholson. She's done this and probably has the same experience. Yeah.
In general, we can grab it from the public-facing site.
Yes.
And that's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah,
so then you're not creating another pathway for that data to go out through us. If we just grab it from the public-facing site, which, you know, we all have access to, that's easy to do.
Yes.
Yeah, you're just sharing.
It's more about what narrative is in there, right?
So. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be cautious, because we all wear a lot of hats, is that we're not adding our personal narrative under the fact that we're commissioners, right? So whatever is the county statement is the county statement, and we're pushing that out.
Yeah.
Because it's like we were talking earlier, right? It's, we're many things, and we don't want to add our own spin.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Any other comments on this? Nope. Okay. Then meat and potatoes, finally, we're going to do the agenda item 3, so child care affordability and access, and then the two ad hoc. So hopefully you guys had a chance to meet. Just so you all know, I wasn't expecting, like, everything's done, and guess what? We have our plan all set for the next whatever. I was more hoping that you guys would have a chance to meet, discuss, marinate, kind of go through and give us some kind of ideas, guidelines, suggestions, so that we can, as a body, really pick this pathway that we want to go for the next report, building on this one. And again, demonstrating to Chair Chafee and the other supervisors how much of a value we are as a commission to women and girls in Orange County. So I'm going to start with you. So thank you guys for meeting. I knew you guys met. I did not want to email you guys on, are you meeting? Are you meeting? Are you meeting? Because I know you guys, and you guys are awesome. So I know you all met, and we'd love to hear kind of what you guys discussed and what you came up with. And so, and then for those who don't remember, just tell us who's on your commission, or your, sorry, ad hoc, and what you were, what your focus.
Sure. So we're the survey ad hoc with myself and Jill Lynn. Jill Lynn had a month, was already busy and on vacation. So Ann and I met, and we had a really robust conversation. And it started with, right, we're the survey ad hoc. And so I sort of filled Ann in, because before she joined us, we had talked about how great it would be to go out and do a survey, really understand what women, and essentially kind of on behalf of girls, because it's easier to survey adults, like what are their concerns and other things, but it's cost prohibitive, right? We have start with our $100,000 budget and knowing what a survey costs. So that was sort of the genesis of that. And as we went into conversation, we really came around to, and it's sort of perfect here in the middle of our book, that we were talking about child care and how that bleeds as you look over sort of the full lifetime of a girl to a woman. It bleeds from child care being very important at a certain phase of your like child rearing life, and then it can become elder care, like care broadly speaking. And so Anne kind of summarized our conversation really well. And you know, I think one of the things that came out of it, and we'll meet again now and include JoLynn because she's available now, so that's important, is that, you know, there might be a way to, as we did with this report, maybe talk to some of the groups that are already doing surveys. And so instead of maybe doing our own survey, which could be very expensive, trying to work with some of our existing bodies who are doing ongoing surveys to say, hey, you know, we're really interested in a couple of these specific questions about child care accessibility. Like, what are the things we're curious about, or a little bit more about dependent care? Because I don't know that if we need to do printing and we need to have kind of fill out county staff, that we'll ever have the actual budget to do a statistically valid survey. So with that, I have 10 copies. So maybe we'll pass at least a couple of them that way. Here, I'll give
nice
you one.
Nice thick paper.
My husband bought thick paper one time and we've never gone back. It's actually like kind of a problem in my household, but I can't get away from thick paper. So in fact, here, let me send one more down because I can share with you. I have the. So with that, Anne, maybe do you want to walk through it? Because you wrote it up.
So as Christine and I were talking, and as really started to, I like the word marinate, with the data, what was resonating was that caregiving in every form really can impact a woman's ability to, you fill in the blank, right? The more we give of ourselves, the less there is for these other things, whether it's work or, you know, self-care. And so we started to think about it in broad terms, fully acknowledging that the child care piece is a critical component on the economic security. But as I move into this phase of my life, I have so many friends that are stepping out of the workforce to care for their parents. And oftentimes, too, it's we also have to kind of acknowledge the care that's needed by those who have disabilities, right? That's a lifetime of care. And so focusing on the broader perspective, right, and then I referenced some of our data, you know, the emotional strain, the financial difficulty, the physical challenges. Those are not specific to early childhood care. It's sort of the broader range of the caregiving responsibilities. And reference the child care costs, which again is tremendously impactful. And I know there's a lot of data that's already out there on free and low cost versus private and all of that. I think the Children and Families Commission probably has a lot of things that we can pull out. And so we're thinking that as we move forward in this next phase of our meetings, that how do you feel about framing childcare question in the broader context of caregiving? And do we want questions that are touching along the whole range of a woman's role as a caregiver?
Yes.
Yay. Okay. So it's a little bit more holistic, and then we're looking at it, I think, in a little different lens, right? We're not duplicating what other people have done. Mm-hmm. We're looking at it in the overall life cycle, which is really what we're all about, because girls and women, right? Mm-hmm. So if we have your support on that, then when our next meeting will think about it in that way.
Yeah, and I think we'd like to think about who's already doing maybe surveys that we can talk to and see if we can, you know, include, right? Is there, yeah, I think we've done a great job with data that's already there, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's like if there's a first five is doing something, can we talk to them about, hey, we're really interested in this particular question. You're already doing this. And I don't know. They may say, no. You know, I don't know, but we'd like to kind of at least have those conversations and engage in that. So that's sort of where we're thinking.
And there's a, I know a tremendous amount of work that was last year with the report that was put out by, I call it the Council on Aging, but whatever the new framing of that org is, right? There's a lot of things, and I haven't dug into that report very much at all. There may be some.
Are you talking about the older adult?
Yes.
That's our,
you guys are all involved in that, right?
Yeah.
So the older adult needs assessment findings are incorporated here. So what we did was take the survey responses and take only women responses to incorporate to all the 55 and older women data within this report. So anything that you say 55 and older women is from that older adult needs assessment.
And so I think the fact that that information is already, you know, reflected in our report, we can dive a little bit deeper into the full context of the survey, see if there's anything else that we want to pull out. But I think there's subject matter experts in that and data that we can link to. And as we meet, I'm sure there are other organizations that you can refer us to because you live in the big space of the whole county, right?
This is fantastic. So I'm looking at this more as like if we were just to title this as its own, Caregiving Responsibilities of Women and How That Affects Socioeconomic Stability Throughout Their Life. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's rough in the beginning when they're doing the child rearing, and maybe their kids grow up, they can get a job, they're working, and then wham, you know, they're now having to be caregivers to their older adults. So I love that direction, and I think not only going to the sources already that have maybe perhaps done some of those, but also maybe incorporating some of these nonprofits or CBOs that's who they work with and deal with, and getting some of their, maybe they've done their own surveys, you know, with some of their clientele or whatnot, and seeing that would be fantastic. So I really like that.
Thank you. I think there's a lot of interest in the full subject from businesses as well. I spoke at the U.S. Bank had an International Women's Day event yesterday, and I was on a panel with Lucy Santana, who's the CEO for Girls Inc. And the business component, they're really looking at how do they help women develop leadership opportunities and skills and, you know, all those things that are critical. But there's this other piece, I don't know what you want to call it, access, right? But how do we reduce these barriers that allow women to have the flexibility or the opportunity to lead when they are also doing these other
things? You have reliable and affordable, dependable child care.
And adult care. Yeah. And elder care, right?
Care.
So I think
flexible work.
Yeah, and I think bringing in the voice of the CBOs as well as some of the business leaders that are already thinking that way.
Well, and it would be interesting too, like the Googles and, you know, the SpaceXs and the big, where they're on their campuses, they have childcare there for their employees. And how do we get, that's kind of where my head went way back a couple months ago, is if we were able to kind of say, hey, supervisors, can you provide incentives for businesses to come and build, or, you know, the you know, financial stability and growth or whatever for Orange County, whether it's Irvine, Orange, Anaheim, Laguna Niguel, whatever, but ask specific to these companies that'll provide a place for a child care center or adult care on premises or right in the building next door, so you're not having to worry about, oh my gosh, my child care's all over there and I had to drive 20 minutes the opposite way. You know what I mean? So getting that kind of information, seeing if, like, maybe Chamber of Commerce's or something like that. So that's great. So.
Well, and I think that's exactly what my husband does. So there's no financial incentive for SpaceX to do that, but SpaceX does that because that's an employee retention tool.
Yes.
So
I think the real ask is, frankly, talking to the county, right? How many employees are in and around here, right? So I think you could ask the county if that's something that, as a body, they deem important, like to really look at that, because what it comes down to is setting aside space to bring down the cost of that. Because free land makes building out something like that feasible, and then it's less costly to the parent to pay for the care. So I think that it's, no one's providing like tax credits for that, or, you know, it's not a financial piece, but you can make a commitment to that by providing it, essentially, right? By being leading by example.
And how great would it be if this time next year there's a report that kind of incentivizes the Board of Supervisors to perhaps on property provide something for all the staff that happens to have children or older adults that, you know what I mean? How great would that be?
But I think we should at least highlight or share that.
Yeah.
So along those lines, I know as a school district, that's something we've actually discussed, right? Like it could even look like, how do you partner county and school district? If we have schools nearby, or can bring, I don't know, bringing services in, what that looks like. We offer, I know I found out since our last meeting that not all school districts do this, but we offer from 2 and up schooling. So maybe there's ways to do it that isn't a cost to the county, but it's like a mutual partnership with school districts. Right. So leveraging those relationships.
That's great.
And then I did want to flag for the group when you were talking, I love this, like the lifespan and the different caregiving that comes at different times. Two aspects I was also thinking is, see if we want to include is when, I guess both for someone who's caregiving for someone with special needs or a child with special needs, we do hear, you know, there's a difference, concerns and things that parents navigate when they're caring for that child throughout their life. And different, you know, stress of wondering when I'm not here, what's going to happen to my child, and things like that. But then I'm also thinking for those women and girls with special needs or who are aging and are managing their care themselves, the cost and lack of accessibility. Kind of, I think it'd be neat to include.
Yeah.
Include them.
Yeah. I think we sometimes, I'm at fault for this. I sometimes forget about those individuals that are. I don't like the word disabled. They're
differently abled, or
what is it?
Differently abled or special?
Yeah,
special needs.
Yeah. So okay, fantastic. So love it. Can't wait to see what you brainstorm. And I don't. It doesn't require a vote. If we're all in consensus, I'd like to have are we all in agreement that let them continue on in this path and start kind of really honing in on the data and different individuals or organizations. Big agreement. Everyone's good. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay.
Can I make a quick suggestion too for that ad hoc? That speaking of surveys, you may want to create like a survey of what is out there in terms of like you referenced, like tapping into existing surveys.
Yeah.
And that would be helpful for our county team, because I know Dr. Marchese will know of things, right? But we've also got healthcare here. We've got OCCR who works with, reminder, you know, all of our workforce development programming and all of those agencies. So if you kind of create like something that they could fill in and get back to you with, that would be helpful. And then amongst your own commissioners, right?
Right.
So that
on
tapping
topics or
like existing surveys. So like the one that comes to mind, I know in the fall of last year, I believe OCTE and First Five were kind of pushing out a paid parent survey that Stanford was doing. It's called like Rapid or something like that. And it wasn't exclusive to childcare, but it was for households who have kids 0 to 6. And one of the topics that they addressed was childcare, and I think it was pretty big because they paid parents to do it, and it was across California. So like, there's stuff like that, that's the only one that comes to mind right now. But, like, we might be able to kind of cumulatively share what we know exists so you give
great.
You a starting
point. That would be super helpful.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know what I'm
You don't even know what you're asking for?
Yeah,
yeah. So that would be really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, just give us a forum where we can provide the information.
Well, that's helpful if the ad hoc decides. Like, what our step one has been, when it comes down to it, is really inventorying what's here, because no one's done that, right? So a lot of what Krislyn and I do in our process is we get, like, a spreadsheet. Krislyn has now become very familiar with them, which is categories. So it could say, like, a survey related to whatever your topic is, just very simple, create, like, a spreadsheet that could be shared out and have them fill in, or in a survey format, right, and be able to start collecting it all.
Can you share?
Are you able to share what you're talking about so I have a better understanding of what you're looking for, and then we can work on that?
Because then you'll get back a lot of different ways, right? Somebody will just, you know, offhand.
And then she can just email Dr. Marchese. She doesn't, you don't have to go as the ad hoc person. Once you get the that image or that, you know, outline or whatever, then you can just email the other departments. You don't, and just say you're part of the ad hoc and blah, blah, blah. Because it's not, you don't have to include me. I would CC Val and I would CC Liz just so she knows, but you don't, you know what I mean? You don't have to. Fantastic. Thank you guys. Okay. The next ad hoc. So was it you that was the chair, or we're not calling it the chair. What are we calling it? Just that ad hoc lead? Okay.
It's actually Joanna, but she asked me if I could present out.
Okay.
We had a chance to meet,
and you were the
expert in authorities ad hoc. So I do see some overlap, which is great. So we met to just kind of get started talking about a game plan and strategy. We would like to prioritize kind of starting with first five OC, and we wanted to request Chair Miles and kind of see what you had in mind. We can do this offline as well, but what our thoughts were was to bring them in to provide a presentation for the group, and we would work with them in advance to kind of shape what, so it speaks to what we're trying to look at.
Okay. Love it.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll work with you to see when would be a good time, and then we want to email them once we know which meeting.
I think if they want to come in April, that would be great to have, the sooner the better. And getting the people here to present this side of the year, you know, sooner is better. So having first five is great. And then tailoring it to, you know, the women and children, the child care, the access, accessibility, older adult caregiving, independent caregiving, kind of like what was mentioned about the special needs or differently abled.
So that kind of changes things up a little bit now that we know that there's this consensus. We also talked about wanting to have that span as well with dependent care going into, like, caring for parents and all in between. So that's exciting. So I think first five would be more for that younger group, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can start talking about the other age ranges, as you mentioned.
So I'm going to recommend the C4A, which is the, give me a second. It's a really weird, I have to write out. California Association of Area Agencies on Aging. C4A, California Association on Area Agencies on Aging.
Area Agents
Council on Aging. I mean, probably a member.
This is the state.
Right.
This is the state one. So I can get a contact for you at the state level. And they are the ones that work with all the different Office on Agings all around California, because we're Office on Aging here is an Area Agency on Aging. So it's the California Area Agencies, Association of Area Agencies on Aging. It's 4A's. But I'll get you a contact, and then that way they have connections and data. I know they've done surveys. I know they have a conference once a year that I've gone to two of them, and their connections and the network is huge. So I will get you that, and that would be great. Not so much but they would have to come down here and give, but they could at least provide you, yeah, with information or whatnot specific to them as an authority on aging and also disabled aging, or they didn't call it abled something. I have to remember what it was. But anyway, so that would be great. So, or they can even Zoom in. Like, that would be fine too, right? We can do Zooms now, right?
For presenters. For this meeting?
To present.
For a presenter?
We did that once before. Would help me grow. And I and maybe with the local office on aging, one thing that I, just throwing this out there since it is relevant to this, a lot of the data that we have in our report is statewide, so we can kind of compare and see, like, what do we have as far as the specifics of the local context, too, so maybe we can
help. And that goes back to the older adults needs assessment.
Looking at that.
It would be interesting if they had access to the actual survey questions and stuff. Like, I know you guys gleaned through it and took out, but to have the whole survey, that would be good.
Yeah. Reading that, so because we're going to be reading through some of the reports, like the first five, the conditions on children. And our second piece was we wanted to actually check in with Dr. Marchese and see if we could maybe pick your brain and meet and see, kind of start really with you because you your work with the different organizations for that report and see if you have any guidance on speakers or just folks that we should get information to bring back to the group so we can connect offline to them.
I mean, whatever I'm allowed to do. but yes, like I can connect you with someone at First Five. Christina Blevins is the one who worked on the landscape analysis, so she would be perfect to come present that sort of thing. Yes, absolutely.
I think what we're going to find is that the experts and authorities are the ones who conduct the surveys, right? And so as we pull together these, this list, of we're going, it's going to be one list, right?
It's going to be a lot of overlap.
Lots of overlap, right? So these are the surveys conducted by these agencies, and I think we'll all be able to,
Fantastic. And from my experience, sometimes they don't even know that they're that they can communicate with each other. So I'll give you an example with the Older Adults Advisory Commission. When I was chair last year, one of my goals was to promote the information access, right? And so it was getting the information out that we have an Office on Aging, because a lot of people, majority of people, and this was part of the survey, didn't even know it existed, and all the different support services and programs that are out there for you, readily available. Some are income dependent, some aren't. But so I started thinking, like, well, gosh, we have all these different, entities like Orange County Mosquito and Vector Control, like SoCal Gas, Southern California Edison, OCFA. Do they communicate with the Office on Aging? And guess what? They don't. They didn't. And so if I'm an inspector for Orange County Mosquito Vector Control and I go out to somebody's home because they're complaining of mosquito whatever, and that person is clearly an older adult that, is maybe living in an environment that isn't healthy, does he just walk away? Does he know even how to communicate and say, like, oh, wow, this is an issue? So I was able to get them to our executive meeting. We were able to get them to talk to the staff at the Office on Aging, and Orange County Mosquito Vector Control left after, it was more than just one day. But, I mean, we're able to go out with the new brochures that the Office on Aging put together. So now whenever an inspector goes to a home and sees that there's an issue, he can leave or she can leave this and say, hey, you know what, I've noticed that there's, you're having a hard time walking, or your steps look kind of bad, or whatever it might be. If you ever need anything service-wise, here, give this to your caregiver, whatever, And so that way they're communicating. Same thing with SoCal Gas and Southern California Edison, because they are meeting these people first time. And then conversely, when an older adult calls into the information access line to, ask for services, they know to ask, like, well, hey, I hear that you're having this really hard time with, these muddy water. Have you ever had Orange County Mosquito Vector Control come out? And they'd be like, no. And so they're cross collaborating. And so it's kind of like the same thing here. Like, I bet you anything, even though First Five knows exactly who the C4A is and you know, so-and-so knows exactly, do they ever actually intersect and communicate? Probably not very well. So having us there, I think, and these are great, and I'm so proud of you, and I knew you guys would do this because we're an awesome group of women. But I love it, and I think this is a great path forward to being able to put together something a little bit more streamlined into this. And I'll tell you this, some of the statistics too, just because I had to deal with it. Orange County is the third largest older adult population in the state. So the first one is LA, second one is San Diego, and then we're third. LA has, if I remember correctly, like 2.1 older adults. San Diego, I want to say, was like 1.45, something like that. And then Orange County was like 798,000 older adults. And those are just the older adults that actually are part of a census that anybody knows about. So it's probably much higher than that. And because of our weather, and you know, we are growing older adult-wise. So not only do we have a very immediate need for childcare, but we have a need now, and we're going to have more of a need for adult care as well. So I think this report going this direction for next year is spot on fabulous.
Also to that point, reminds me of, for school districts across the state, 75% of our school districts are seeing declining enrollment because of declining birth rates. And why are there declining birth rates? And a lot of people then say, you know, because of the cost of living, like we think of housing, but also if you add in like childcare to that too, right? And so if we have lower birth rates, who is going to take care of the aging population, right? And we've seen some countries where that's happened.
And you know what would be interesting too, because you mentioned that. So right, my mind automatically goes culturally, right? So some cultures, that's part of their social security, right? Is grandma gets taken care of by, and that's non-negotiable, right? So grandma lives with you until, I think it's a lot of the Asian cultures do that, and in, you know, East Indian cultures do that. So that would be interesting too, as a component is, you know, culturally, who's doing a great job taking care of their older adults, right? So this is fantastic. This is great. Are there any other comments or any more direction needed on kind of our next steps for when we come back in April to have some more information? Hopefully we have a presentation.
How do we want to coordinate, to Anne's point, if we're bringing in speakers who, and we're like, hey, they have this great robust survey, because we're ad hocs and maybe can't necessarily communicate outside of the meeting space, how should we go about that?
Email me and Valerie to put it on the agenda. And then once it's on the agenda, then we can have a total discussion about it here.
Okay. Awesome. Sort of along similar lines is, as we start to compile these lists of the experts and the surveys that are available, could we have some sort of a SharePoint, like we did with the report, where we were all able to edit it, right? Maybe there's something where it's not a good idea. Because then we're all communicating.
Up with a report in a way that was sound, I'm sure.
Oh.
And it wasn't, I don't think, I know I looked at the report and it wasn't shared, but I could make changes to the document that was worked on by others.
Right. It was a PDF and they couldn't, okay, yeah. So this is how we did it. Yeah. So it was a one-way PDF, mm-hmm. meaning they could write their comments, right, but they weren't responding to each other. And then we were integrating it all.
I mean,
however, at the time that they could see their comments. So I do not know if we're using this model for ad hocs. Like how do we do that for an ad hoc? How do they share a shared document where they're entering? Is it different than, because it's not like a full meet, like it's not.
Who would you want everyone to have access to?
Meet everybody.
I don't know. Now that we're thinking it through, I'm thinking if it's just a list of resources that maybe we're not engaging. Maybe it's coming from staff.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can just send it to Valerie, and she's allowed to email it out to everybody.
I guess also, how long do we foresee the ad hocs lasting? I guess in my mind, and you set them up, so that's why I'm asking. Honestly, like, if this is just for the next month or two, and then we're coming back together, and you might need another report ad hoc, as we had, but that would be different from these, right? At that point, when you merge back to the broader group, then we just do it here. I mean, it's a public meeting. We do it here.
So my thought or my goal is we spent 1 to 2 months on kind of really curating what we wanted this report, so that's what the ad hocs are doing, and then we had like a breakout session during a meeting. That's all we did, is we brainstormed and came up with the path, and that would be like May-ish, and then we're dark in June.
Dark in July.
So even maybe by June, we've got a really good understanding of exactly this is what we want to focus on. These are the reports or surveys we're going to use. This is, and then we could have like July. So August, we would be back to, all right, now we've got the data. We need to put it together, interpret it, blah, 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 blah.
So then maybe if at the next meeting, each ad hoc is prepared to share, right, in a public setting, our list, and then we can compare. And that'll be our first kind of opportunity to see what the overlap looks like.
Have like a working session, discussion.
Instead of risking sharing it, bid meeting and any potential brand act violations, we just have that as a goal.
So we might end up reaching out to some of the same people.
That's okay.
And then we push it through to Valerie and then agendize it from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fantastic. This is
awesome, you guys. Yes. Caitlin, if Laura is not able to attend the meeting, please let me.
Okay. Oh, she was able to. We met.
Okay.
It was Laura, I should start with that. Laura and Joanna.
Okay.
And myself, yeah. They just both had a scheduling conflict for today, but definitely. And then I just want to flag, you mentioned the timeline, if it's okay to flag, because I remember last time we had felt a little bit rushed by the time, I'm trying to think when we brought in, we talked to Cal State Fullerton, by the time we brought in the consultant for the report.
Well, they were the consultant for the report.
Mm-hmm. First, we talked with Cal State Fullerton, and they weren't able to do it in that time frame. So we there was a little bit of a sense of a crunch if we wanted to have options of consultants. Mm-hmm. So the county graciously stepped up to help with that. And even then, it felt like it may have there was some comments, right? Like it was a little bit like fast paced. So just flagging that, if I didn't know if we were considering how we were going to go about it this year.
Well, I don't think we're going to have money for a consultant, just like we're not going to have money for a survey. But I think if we are able to have this data here, this data here, this data here, if we pay county again, we give it to them. We're not asking them to go find it, but we say, here's this data set, here's this data set, here's this data set. Are they able to put together, we're not going to be covering as much. It would be a smaller report in my mind. Would you guys be able to compile it like you did last time with graphics and whatnot?
So two things. Caitlin's right. We did lose, right, but there was like kind of that time frame where we couldn't have UCI. The chair's office we've talked about this and agrees that the timing of when to bring the report does not have to be March moving forward.
Oh.
So, yes. So that's a good news, hopefully, for the commission. I think we realized a couple of things, one being that the data, if you do decide to, for example, next year, so maybe every other year, update this data, that it's best to give yourself time knowing that the new data comes out at the end of the year, right? And then you're not rushing to get it in. And then secondly, the chair acknowledges that there will be a turnover in leadership. So this way it's not based on what, he had set forward, but, it could change regardless. So we're just wanted to let you know that. So then you'd base it more on when you really are prepared and have the time to gather the data that you need. And then one last thing, I think that Kristen's team is always happy to consider, doing the report. Obviously, there's benefits of that as long as we have time to plan, because she does have now. She's gotten really overloaded with reporting requests. So we would have to be able to bring that back and then come back. And as you know, budgets are tight, and so her staff can't grow this year as we expected. So, you know, just being transparent that sure. the counties, and you know, because of the budget issues, is also having staffing shortages.
Duly noted. Thank you. I still feel, even though we've been given grace, I really like March because of it being Women's History Month. I think that aligns very well with what we're all about. It doesn't have to necessarily be at the beginning. It could be in the end. But I also feel like because this was the first report and it was so massive and we were kind of trying to figure out and bleed through what was really kind of forward-facing, which I think we've come to an agreement that it's a lot. It's child care, dependent care. I don't feel that this next report would be as robust because we wouldn't be worrying about all the different facets of it. So I think being able to ask county to put a report together specific to caregiving needs of women and girls, you know, in Orange County through their lifespan, I think would be a much more manageable report to have done by March.
Did you want to explore a university partnership?
I'm just worried if we don't have any additional funding, I don't know how we'd be able to actually do that. It's not that I wouldn't want to, but I just think when we realize how much of our, unless we have another allocation of funding.
But maybe we can find out what the comparison is between, because I know there were still costs with county.
Yes.
And I don't remember what the university, if they had given us a quote. Liz, or does anyone from the county team, do you remember what, with Cal State Fullerton, if they had given us a quote, did we get that far? We can look back.
We can look back. I mean, we'll be honest. I mean, like our assessment, for example, that you're referencing, that was $1.1 million just for the older adults needs assessment. And the report itself that we put together as a result, if we were to like incorporate Chrisland's staff time and mine that we that went into that, it would be well into the you know, six figures. So
and
I think
really
I'm just giving
you hired.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So unless like the way that it works really well with the educational institutions is if it's something that they're already doing or wanting to like use in their own context, so then there it's kind of that partnership, right? So that's probably just to give you like, so maybe there's that ability to reach out and say, would you be willing to partner? Here's our budget. That would be my approach. You go to them with how much you have and say, can you do this for this amount? And then kind of, right, and then also, or yeah, how much of a scope of work could we get to?
Yeah.
And I think that's why I also shared even like our scope of work, because sometimes that's hard to even compile is how do we even put the scope of work together for this project? So that would be something that, you know, if you start now, you can already get the answer and you go in with your budget. Up front,
that's reaching out to partners.
I was gonna say, maybe the ad hoc can kind of look at the different universities and find out and see do they have a, you know, women's,
is there a match here?
Yeah, and come back and let us know about that. As far as funding and stuff, I feel like after we present this after the meeting on Tuesday with the Board of Supervisors, kind of my thinking too is that we put together a request as an organization, maybe in, when's the budget due? June, right?
We're all of the budget were received from the department actually yesterday. So you'll be seeing the release of the budget and in June.
But for supervisors' discretionary funds,
they typically do it based on when they're coming to the end of their terms because that end, right? So you guys just put through a lot of discretionary funds in the last month.
Yeah, but my understanding is that it's ongoing. Yeah.
It's ongoing.
Okay,
but,
so maybe like in April, May or something, Valerie, just a note to you, is maybe April, May, we can have something, a discussion that we put together a request to the chairman about more money.
No, I mean, that is up to the commission. The only thing that I would advise is that specific asks with like estimates and dollar amounts are always the best.
Okay.
If you can go in and say, this is exactly how much we need for this purpose, then you're going to get, like, just like in anything, right, a better response. But we have no, you know.
Okay. Yep. Understood. So maybe let's do that for May.
And
because we'll have a good idea if we had to print more or not. We'll know what we spent. Mm-hmm. We'll have ideas if there's anybody that might partner with us or whatever. So we'll have a better idea of if, and then we can have a full amount of what we're going to spend. Okay.
Just a request, or just a comment. I don't know whether the commission is limited to looking at university as partners, but there are private consulting firms, evaluation firms that can do this without the same indirect charges that universities impose. And then the other question is whether can something like this type of consultant be sole source, or does it have to be put out to bid?
Like RFP?
Yeah. So does it have to be put out to bid if the commission were to hire, if the commission received the funds and were to hire a consultant?
All of our poor staff is like, yes.
It goes over a certain amount. I feel like I remember that from last.
Yeah, I thought it was if it was under a certain amount.
Yes, so sole source is 50,000 to 75, but then we also like for sole sources to be like bodies of work that couldn't be done. So it's like literally this is the only institution that could do this work, right? There's an argument that could be made that this is the only group that could do it for this amount, right?
Yeah.
So that's mm-hmm. also part of the sole source justification, but you'd have to come in with that justification in hand in order to avoid the RFP process. And the RFP process now is a bit even more lengthy. We're looking at least 3 to 6 months.
I'd like to avoid the RFP process.
And then with the whole AB 339.
It's going to be alternate in-house,
and you kind of
yes.
already so just showed that you great. Could.
So, I mean, the more information, I mean, the better.
Yeah, I do. I can share some names with you.
I mean, universities are great. Universities are great.
Right?
It's just,
I don't know.
Depending on how the work is characterized, contract, grant, like, then you might get charged 30% indirect.
Yeah, I mean, you just say you don't
right?
have stuff.
So.
And I was even thinking, like, if first five, right, like, some of these organizations, I don't know if with the supervisors, like relationships, like if maybe they might even want to come together and do like this joint report to show the lifespan, and maybe it's more of a nonprofit. Maybe they have capacity. We can also ask our partners. But we'll get on it fast because I don't want it to sneak up on us.
Yeah. So I just heard, did you just say that maybe the county couldn't do the report?
Oh, no. I was just saying with like the RFP process now, there's a new element in AB 339 that basically sort of you have to assess whether or not it can be done by internal existing county staff when you go out to RFP. So just another, like, it's another step that's made it a little bit longer and just another consideration with respect to the RFP portion of it.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Okay. Any other comments or questions or discussion? Yes, ma'am.
Just a thought that I think it's great, the focus on caregiving across the lifespan, but I was wondering if there's any consideration to whether we should, remember at the two meetings ago, it was decided to take the recommendations out of the report to segregate those two things. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, is there some effort by the commission to revisit the question of recommendations moving forward so that there's a kind of a constant, I don't know if the idea is grand scheme of things over the next 5 years, each year we'll have a new report that addresses on a deeper level and maybe even develops recommendations for maybe five topics, you know, so childcare might be 27 and maybe 28 it's healthcare, 29 it might be something workforce or whatever. But I just, I know a lot of work was put into developing those recommendations that were justifiably removed from the report, but I'd hate for that work to go by the wayside because we now have a new focus. I was just curious, like, is the commission, and maybe I wasn't at the last meeting, maybe you talked about this, so forgive me if this is redundant.
The bylaws speak to this. So the this is your mandate. The commission will prepare reports and recommendations to the board in the areas you're familiar with. One thing that's worth flagging is not only is your charge to present a report, but you aren't limited to that. In fact, part of your charge is to provide ongoing advisory support to the board by presenting regular reports and updates on your progress, on the progress and outcomes of initiatives undertaken by you. So it doesn't have to, one way to approach it, and this is just a thought idea, a brainstorm, throwing things out there, you could provide updates and then compile that at the end of the year into your report. And then the board also is aware of your ongoing work, and it's not a one time a year, but on an ongoing basis, they are seeing that you are productive. And not that you're not productive, but they're seeing it. It's more visible.
I'm almost thinking that it could warrant its own ad hoc committee. It's just like kind of the recommendations ad hoc for this year to kind of come up with, or maybe it's like a strategic plan. I don't know how you would style it, but just to ensure that there's some continuity in developing recommendations or briefing the board of supervisors on the content from that first report. And that maybe even if you do kind of five single topic reports in the next 5 years, that maybe this board commits, so long as resources are available, that every 3 years we update the data presented in the first report. You know what I mean? Just so that there's, it also gives the county a frame of reference so they can compare and see trends over time.
So question, are we allowed to do like memos to the Board of Supervisors?
Yeah. Is it okay if I, or go ahead?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Mel.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you're not limited like to presenting, like the annual report is being presented at the board meeting, yes. But if the commission has recommendations for the Board of Supervisors, it does not have to be a formal presentation. The commission can, you know, create recommendations and submit to the board offices via memo or by like a smaller report that you would email. Like it doesn't have to be the way that you communicate the recommendations of the commission to the board does not have to be at the board meetings. It can be from the commission to the board and distributed.
So then let's do this. So for the April meeting, we're going to go through and vet what you guys with the commission, with the ad hocs are doing, and have some direction or some definitive, yep, we like this, no, we don't like this. And then also let's have, I can put something together ahead of time or for that meeting that is presented as a memo or an update to the Board of Supervisors that we can all discuss kind of like from the report, this is our recommendation.
Was that being prepared? That's not part of that two-pager. That's something else. Was the recommendations going to be provided separately or we decided to?
You know, I think it was kind of like a pin was put in it, and we were kind of deciding on, like, we hoped, like, from osmosis, they would look at this and go, wow, there's some really great things here. Gosh, we should make some changes or some, you know what I mean? But if we do it as a memo from us as the body that just kind of says, like, hey, and it'd be perfect if we discuss it in April because they would have had time to digest the report. And a short little, this is, you know, the, you guys got the report. Thank you so much for the funding again. We always need more. And based on the report, we've got great plans for going forward on what we're going to work on for the next year. But in the meantime, this is what we kind of figured, you know, our recommendations that we'd like to draw your attention to. And just we can discuss it and hone it in. And I'm thinking like maybe nothing longer than like, you know, half a page. that we just go boom, boom, boom. And,
yeah,
and then we just
good idea.
And then it just goes off to them as a memo, and then they have it.
And I like this idea of establishing a cadence of expectations, right?
Yeah.
So every 3 years, this is our this could be part of your memo, right?
The, yeah.
Our recommendation is
yeah.
that every
is that
so
we,
many years.
Yeah, that we revisit the data.
I think that would be helpful. The questions I have received have been more around that. Like, do you guys, does the commission intend to update the data every 2 years? Like, what's that plan? And then they kind of zoned in what one board office in the next steps. Like, are you saying you're going to come back to us with this, or what's their plan? So I do think that it's timely to do that. I assumed you were going to do it because you had kind of, it seemed that you were alluding to that. So it would be something that would probably answer a lot of the questions that they have about next steps.
I want to say I feel like they might be looking to us to say, like, okay, this is right a lot that we covered. So what are, like, maybe the top three or five areas that we saw that stood out that was significant? Because I know some of the data wasn't as significant when we were looking at the ad hoc, and some was more. I know my supervisor's office has reached out to ask, like, what, you know, within this, are there some areas that...
Is that going to be part of your presentation, Crystal?
Yeah. So I'll put together just a brief little, and then we can discuss it, modify it, change it, whatever. And then...
if I may, I think that it's important for the recommendations themselves. I don't remember because I haven't looked at it since it was in the draft from two meetings ago, but... If we are going to issue recommendations, that they should be specific and measurable so that we can demonstrate whether we've achieved any progress or the county has achieved. I mean, it's not really this commission's purview to implement recommendations, but we can at least set some objectives that are
Absolutely.
Measurable.
Mm-hmm.
And so just saying we think that the county should invest in XYZ to improve ABC is almost too vague to be measurable. I don't remember the language in the recommendations, but maybe it takes a little bit more time than just one meeting to kind of finesse that language for the specific recommendations, and maybe it's something that the whole committee weighs in on. Like, you were talking about doing a workshop, or I forget what you said, but like a breakout.
Yeah. So
maybe
can,
that could be part of the breakout, is wordsmithing these recommendations
sure.
to make them a little bit more manageable.
Absolutely. So what I'll do is I will come, or we'll put it part of the agenda packet, and you guys can have an opportunity to look at it ahead of time, and then we can have discussion after we do the discussion on what path we're kind of going. And if there's changes that need to be made, absolutely. If not, fantastic. That'll happen. But anyways, so good.
Would it be possible, if it's with your time frame, to get it in a little bit more advanced? Because something I'm thinking I might do is bring it to my supervisor's office and say, do you see anything within here that I can bring back to
the recommendations?
Mm-hmm.
No, because I want everyone to have an opportunity to look at it before we start presenting it to any of our supervisors. You understand what I'm saying? Like, unless I'm misunderstanding.
I guess, or maybe it's just the way we're thinking about it. I was thinking for the time frame to be able to, for the discussion, to have a more robust discussion. My thought is, these are like the topics, at least, right? Not any detail of what we're suggesting. Is there anything from your office that I can bring to the group to
share? I
would
recommend you have that conversation and then come with that information to the meeting,
mm-hmm.
and we'll use that to discuss when I present these recommendations.
I just need to know what the which areas we're honing in on, like just general term.
Well, what we kind of discussed before, which would be about, you know, the economic stability and the workforce and childcare. So those kind of three things is what were part of the recommendations in the draft originally.
Economic stability. What were they again? Economic
so it was,
stability.
It was workforce. It was economic stability. It was healthcare, childcare. Those were kind of the three main. Yeah. So
I think what I'm hearing you say, Crystal, is that you want to make sure that the commission's voice is aligned before we inform the supervisors, and we don't really need, we don't want the supervisors influencing until we've had an opportunity.
Correct.
Different direction.
Because we were all chosen by our supervisors to represent them. So if anyone wants to go speak with their supervisor to get input from them, that would be great, because then you can represent that here. But I don't think it would be appropriate to go to them with it before the whole commission has had an opportunity to discuss it together so that we can have a uniform front.
And my only thought, and I'm not partial to either way, my only thought was, you know, there was a lot of discussion about what it, from the county staff, like what is feasible.
Sure.
As far as our ask. So I just wanted to be informed if the office is doing anything already on these areas so that we can include that in our brainstorming if it aligns well.
Absolutely. And I think that will be a great conversation to have in April. So. Okay, with that, I want to be mindful of our time. Great, awesome meeting you guys today. I guess I have to read really quick. Are there any comments? Commission comments and roundtable? Just thank you guys, and happy Women's National Women's Month. We'll see you guys on Tuesday, so I'm going to adjourn at 12:04, and thank you, and everyone drive safe. And next meeting is April 2nd at 10 a.m.
Yay!
And we'll see everyone
next week
on Tuesday.
Pink
and white, lavender,
baby blue.
Hi.